المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما نافعا يا كريم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن هو قائم آناء الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه، قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for coming and for your willingness to listen and to raise your children in the best way. I want to thank the administration of the school and the board, all of them, for organizing these activities. You have a wonderful leadership, alhamdulillah. You have a wonderful community. And I would like to share some of my research in this area and my experience with you, so that we all can learn something about our children, about ourselves, and about tarbiyah in general in Islam. Why do we have this course? We have our students in the school. We have our teachers and our staff. And we want to bring everybody to walk on the same wavelength, to be on the same page, so that everybody understands what is given in the school, what is given here, the parent, the teacher, and the student are getting the same material. And that, inshallah, is going to help. I already started with the teachers, and inshallah, I already started also with the students, and we're starting with the parents. The material that I present to you, I have accumulated it over a long time of, so you will find a lot of material, inshallah, and I pray for Allah that it will be helpful to you. I did a lot of research on tarbiyah in the Quran. I did a lot of research on tarbiyah in the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want to share that with you. I hope, inshallah, that you will learn. The style that I present to you is that, as you will see over here, it is not just lecturing at you, but rather I would like you to engage with me in a discussion and raise some points as well. And I assure you, inshallah, that what you see here is authentic. It is not a repetition of something that you have seen before. It's new and it's different in the way it is presented. So inshallah, I hope that you will learn, and I hope that you will not get bored, inshallah. I have a lot of material, so we'll take whatever it takes in this 45 minutes or 1 hour, inshallah, and we'll continue with that series, inshallah, as we go. So let us start. You have your children, and you want your children to be raised in the best way. You want them to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want them to sit, to follow the model of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody claims, I want to follow the Prophet. Everybody claims, I want to read the Quran and follow the Quran. And yet, and I want you to listen to this carefully, yet, you will find two people getting the same Quran, the same Sunnah. One of them becomes an extremist, one of them becomes a normal and intellectual and a good Muslim, balanced and moderate Muslim. Then what makes the difference? And how can I bring my child to be a moderate Muslim, to be a knowledgeable Muslim, and to be somebody who really understands what Islam is? This is what I would like. This is one of the goals that I set for this course, and I pray to Allah that you'll all, inshallah, learn from this, inshallah. So let us look and see what makes our school different. What makes ISI different in its approach and tarbiyah, which, inshallah, we'll work together in bringing it, inshallah, to the best of our abilities, inshallah. Here is a picture that I took from my house. I looked outside And there was a picture here. And as you look into this picture here, you will notice that there are steel bars here, three here, and there are steel bars that are put here, and they are tied with a wire here that ties the tree. Can one of the brothers tell me why they do that?
To balance the tree.
That's true. And that's a very important and essential component that is done to the tree. And my question to the sisters, is it done to every tree? A young tree and an old tree, or is it done only to young trees? Young trees. Similarly, our young children need this kind of support. Similarly, it is very important to provide that support to the tree, to your young tree. Now, we'll come together and we'll try to understand together what stands for us. What are these supporters that stand for us? I discussed this issue with the students, and I want you to guess when I ask them what stands for these steel bars for the tree, for you as a student, children in our school. Can you guess what they said? Give it a wild guess. Parents, exactly. You guess the tribe. They said, it's our parents. And I agree with them. In fact, when I designed this, this was not in my mind. But they surprised me, so I learned from them that those steel bars, actually the parents stands, both parents stand as the supporters for the children. And it's a very important point. When the child feels that the parent is supporting him or her, they'll grow healthy. They'll do something good. And let us share a few more things here about this tree. Look at the soil here, that is here. This soil here comes in and you don't see any grass in here. Is the soil important for the tree?
Yes.
Definitely it's important for the tree. What stands for the soil? Can you guess what stands for the soil in the process of tarbiyah? Environment. Jazakumullah khair. That's very good. MashaAllah. The environment is very important. And if you have a good environment, the tree will grow healthy. And will have a healthy tree. If you don't provide a healthy environment, and if you don't provide a good support, what's going to happen to the tree? Collapse, or maybe grow, right? Is it possible that the tree grow without these steel supporters? Yes, definitely. But will it grow in a direction that you want? Most probably not. Will it grow wild or in a direction that you do not want? So unless you provide a support as a parent, unless you know what you're doing, your child can go astray, can grow in a direction that you do not want. And my question to you, have you thought about it? Have you thought about what kind of support you providing to your child to guarantee that your child grows in the direction that you want? And the answer to that, inshallah, we'll explore it together in this course. And we'll find things that will help us come up with these supporters and these guiders that guide the growth of our children. Okay, this is my neighbor. My neighbor's tree. And this is my tree. Okay? Which one is better?
Your tree.
My neighbor or mine? And be, I mean, don't be biased. So just say the truth. I know you don't want to say it, but it's my neighbor's tree is much better than mine. Okay? Can somebody tell me why this tree is better? It has more protection. Jazakallah khair.
More
I didn't mean it. So. You look at it, and you see that support that is provided here, surrounding that soil. What does it do to the soil?
Provides strength.
Provides another word, Zakallah, another word. Prevent erosion. Protection, right? It provides protection. Erosion from what? What else could encroach into the soil? Weeds. Do we have weeds in the school? A lot of schools have weeds, right? So actually, that metaphor is correct. You, if you provide a good support that protect the soil, protect your environment, as you are doing here in ISI, you're protecting your soil. You're providing activities outside. You have a fence outside the property. You have this, you have this. So you're really kind of careful in putting your community and the environment that the community provides for the children. MashaAllah, beautiful environment that is not there in many places. And that's a blessing for Allah. If you do not provide that protection, then in this case, like my tree here, you will find that the weeds will grow over here and will eat part of that. And it's very important that we provide that protection. And that's where it comes, its maximum in the Islamic school. You're providing total Islamic environment in the school. And that environment, together with the environment in the community, that you're creating in the community, helps us build the best environment for the children. And let me share with you what happens. I've been, you know, with Islamic schools for a long time. My children went to the Islamic schools. And they graduated. And alhamdulillah, I'm a grandfather now. My daughter was blessed with a baby girl on the day of it. The Islamic school was so important in their lives. They are able now, they did not go overseas and learn things overseas. They are able to read Arabic fluently, write Arabic, read Quran on their own with tajweed. Some of them memorized many pages. Actually, my son memorized 10 parts as assignments in the school. One third of the Quran is an assignment. And I know that this year, somehow the Quran curriculum is restructured, and we have levels now. So these levels in the Quran, inshallah, will provide some improvement. And next year, will provide more levels. And these levels will help your children graduate. Why am I talking about that? Environment. My daughter that graduated from the Islamic school, all my children graduated from the Islamic school. My daughter is the principal of the Sunday school, the weekend school. They all come. The rest of the students, everybody has something to contribute to the community that they will live in. We want to do the same thing over here. So do not undermine the importance of the Islamic school and the environment that it provides. Do not undermine the importance of the environment that the community over here is providing for you. And the activities that NAS, for example, I came over here and they were doing a tournament. Wonderful. You see? When you see a tournament and people come in uniform, that adds to the success of the building the environment for our children, alhamdulillah. And that's great. Now, you look here. The tree that you have here and the house that stands next to it. If you have a child that grows healthy, will add to the beauty of the house. Will add a lot to how the household looks. So if you protect your child, provide the right support for your child, the child grows healthy, and you, alhamdulillah, as a parent, you have a good father, good mother, and you have a good family, you will have a beautiful household. And you will all enjoy the beauty of your household. Look at this picture here. What happened to the rope that was tying the tree here? Somebody tell me, brothers and sisters? Doesn't need it anymore. Is it possible that you won't need it anymore? As a child, definitely there'll come a time where the child does not need these supporters anymore. So if this is the case, when would the child need the support? Mothers, you tell me. When would the child need that support? When? Early in the life or late? Very early in the life. Perhaps when the child reaches the age of 20, 23, you know, does not need this anymore. But the child needs it the most when the child is still growing, very young.
Parents look really tired.
No doubt, you're going to be tired, but then you get a lot of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, you're not going to be tired of getting hasanat, inshaAllah. You'll be tired of doing the work to get the hasanat, inshaAllah. But this is a very important element here of the tarbiyah process that we want to achieve. So, another way to look at it, as one of the teachers in our school indicated, that this might also mean something else other than you don't need the protection anymore. Can somebody guess? As you guessed, mashallah, you're good in guessing.
Rebellions.
That's a very good word. Perhaps your child will become rebellious. When would this happen? When will your child be resilient? When you provide too much support or balanced support?
Too much.
If you exceed the limit, we'll do the opposite. So there's got to be a balanced amount of protection. If you over the child, do this, do that all the time, the child will get sick of it and will become resilient. Especially when you deal with teenagers. Perhaps it's acceptable in the early childhood or elementary school, but when you go to middle and high school, children want to become independent. And if you're not careful about how much support you provide your children, you might lose them. So it becomes very important, dear brothers and sisters, to provide the balanced amount of support and protection needed for your child. Don't overdo it. You overdo it, you're going to lose it. That's what we learn from this metaphor that you have in front of you. Okay. This is another lesson I learned from the trees. I always sit next to the window and watch my trees. So I learned another lesson in my other house of heaven. My children in Kansas City, so I go visit them. And because I travel a lot, I don't have time to fix my yard. So one of the trees went that way, and the other trees went straight. And my question to you, if time goes on and I do not fix the tree, will it be as easy in the future to fix it as it is now, or will it be more difficult? Definitely more difficult. The trees become stronger. And you become weaker too. As you grow older, you become weaker. Perhaps you don't feel it if you're young, but if you're older, you start to feel it as you grow older. And that's what Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, the famous one, not me, the famous one, was saying. So you look at it, and you really find out, and these are trees. You have to trust me, they are trees. They don't look like trees, but I grow them to be trees. If you don't fix the problems that your children face now, you're going to suffer. It's going to be very hard to fix them later. If you don't provide the support now, you're going to be sorry. It's going to be very difficult to provide the support later. One of the biggest donors to the Islamic school that I worked with with intensity was one who came crying to the school, and he's putting all his wealth into, good major part of his wealth into the school. And I learned his story, and his story was he was did not provide that support to his children, and he lost his children. So he came crying in front of me that he lost that chance to bring his children in the way they are supposed to be. And he did not want this to happen to any other child. So he was putting money into the school and helping the school in its early stages. You see. So if you do not fix and provide the support early in the life of your child, chances that you're going to fix your child later become minimal. And maybe you lose your child. So dear brothers and sisters, you are the ones who care. You are the ones who hear the masjid and bringing your children to the masjid. You are the ones, inshallah, that will benefit from keeping a good eye on their children and providing the necessary support to them. Now, back to our question. What makes the difference between a child who's balanced, a child who understands, a child who's moderate, and a child who's excused? That's what I would like to share with you. And let us find out some of the answers to that. And let me start with this. In anything you teach or learn, you teach something or learn something, you will find out that there are three components: understanding, details, and skills. That applies to anything, whether it's religion, Quran, Sirah, Sunnah, whether it's literature, math, doesn't matter. Anything you learn or teach, gotta have these three components. Now, let's look at them and see the difference between how you do things, how your child should learn, how you provide teaching to your child. Depends on how you understand these three components that are in front of you. By details, the data that you have. You're reading in the Quran, for example, you're reading Surah Al-Baqarah, every verse. What does every verse mean? So details of Surah Al-Baqarah. Does it talk about Siyam? Does it talk about Bani Israel? Does it talk about Hajj? You know these details. Understanding then goes into much deeper. Understanding would connect all the topics together, would help you see the overall picture, would deal with the why, how, why. Okay? The details deals with what is there. Understanding it, the how and why. If your child knows the rule and why it's there, the wisdom behind it, your child will grow healthy. If your child knows why this is halal, why this is haram, understands, your child will grow healthy. If your child does something because it's built on iman, he believes that this is the best for him or her, to grow healthy. And this is what Prophet Muhammad spent a long time. And the Quran in Mecca spent a long time. And that's what we call iman. What is iman anyway? Iman is belief. I believe that this is the best. I believe that Islam is the best. I believe that Allah is my witness. I believe that what Allah tells me is the truth. Believe meaning I strongly have in my heart and my mind that this is the best for me. So if you can bring your children to a point where your child believes that this is the right thing to do, you are in good shape. I take you to an exit. This is now what is the fashion in the USA now. This is what we call character education. And now character education is spreading like, you know, fire in the USA over here. Every school now wants to teach character education. Of course, they don't want to teach it from a religious perspective. They want to teach it from a secular perspective, or from what they call universal ethics perspective. Meaning, be respectful, be honest, be sincere, do the right thing, which boils down to be the same thing. The only difference is we believe Allah is behind everything. They believe do it just for the sake of doing it. But this is a very essential component. Then the belief comes here, the understanding. And the skills is what you actually, how you actually translate what you understood into action. So when you translate what you understood into action, or you let your child translate what he understood or what she understood into action, then he developed or she developed a skill. And it all boils down to skills. So imitation, imitation without developing the skill is wrong. It's gotta become a skill. You say this person is skillful, means this person has mastered this. And you gotta turn everything into a skill. Now I want to ask you, and you answer me. I'm gonna teach my child Quran. My child is in kindergarten or first grade or second grade, early elementary. I want to teach my child Quran. So what is the best approach to teaching Quran? How do you apply this model that I presented to you into teaching your child in first, second grade or kindergarten the Quran? Can somebody share with me, brothers or sisters, what you're going to do based on the information that I presented to you over here? You know, don't worry about making a mistake or not saying. We all learn, so give it a try. You've been doing a great job. Didn't miss anything so far. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sister. Good. So that would mean you want to tell them that Allah created you. You want to teach them who is the source of that, and all of that is part of the understanding. Let me narrow down the question. Jazakallah khair. Excellent. I have in my mind, should I focus more on how much they memorize, or should I focus more on building a skill? See? And that's very important. Before you focus on the how much, focus on quality. Focus on the skill. Chances that the child or the mother or the father would do it in his own at home, memorization, is high. If you know how you decode the words and read and write, if you know the skill of reading and writing, anybody who knows this skill can go home, spend the time, and then memorize, inshallah. But not everybody is going to master the skill of reading the Quran correctly. If you can't, in every community that we have in the USA, the people that master reciting the Quran correctly, most probably you're counting on fingers. Why? Because we're not putting enough focus on the skill. We're putting more focus on the how much. And that's wrong. Which one is a priority? The skill or the how much?
Skill.
And this should come first. If you're not doing that, I'd like you to recalculate and reconsider what you do. If chances that if you miss the skill and you want to get it later, is not high. If you miss it when you're young, chances that you get it when you are older becomes much harder. Your ability to master things, especially languages, when you are young, much stronger than when you are older. Not only that, but from child psychology, they tell you that the child, when the child is born, the first few months of the child can distinguish even different languages and recognize that this is different than this than this. As they grow older, they get noise and they get confused. But it's amazing that the ability of the children at younger age is at its peak. And that's why it becomes very important that I focus more on the skill of the tajweed, skill of reciting the Qur'an. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلُ. And then I work on memorization. If I can do both at the same time, excellent. And then I work with them on the understanding. It becomes very important part. Let me give you an example, and I want you to look with me here. This is from Surah An-Nisa. Allah told us in Surah An-Nisa, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مثل حظ الأنثيين فإن كن نساء فوق اثنتين فلهن ثلثا ما ترك وإن كانت واحدة فلها النصف. On and on. Is this here? It says Allah directs you to inheritance. How much the mother gets, how much the father gets, how much the male gets, how much the female gets. If the son is died, what happens? Gives you all of this. Is this now details, understanding, or skill? Details. Am I required to learn details of the Quran?
Yes.
Definitely. Everybody is required to learn the details of the Quran. You can't understand before you learn the details. Now, I look at this, then where is the understanding and where is the skill in Surah Nisa? I want you to do some thinking. Very important. And let me share with you a few things over here. Why inheritance laws come in Surah An-Nisa? Is that going to be understanding or details?
Understanding.
If I answer this question, it will help me, inshallah, answer other questions. At the end of Surah An-Nisa, there is a talk about Isa alayhi salam. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُ. They killed him not, they crucified him not, who is made to appear to them. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. And for a surety they killed him not. And Allah raised him. Why Isa alayhi salam here comes in Surah Nisa? He never got married anyway. You see? So, why would Allah put it in Surah Nisa? If I answer this question, is it going to be understanding or details?
Understanding.
If I can relate the answer to the first question and the answer to the second question, relate them and find relationship among them, my understanding would be much stronger. And we'll answer this. In Surah An-Nisa also there is a talk about jihad. Why jihad? Mu'min, I'm not supposed to be jihad. You know, they're not required to make jihad. Why jihad comes in Surah An-Nisa? That is also is going to be part of understanding. If I understand this, be in a very good shape. If I do the same methodology with my children, of course, we're talking here about different levels. We're talking here about high school, the upper, middle, and high school, then we start this kind of deep understanding. On the elementary, I kind of give them the meanings and make sure they understand it. And as he grow older, then the level of understanding becomes more sophisticated. I did research. I researched, alhamdulillah, all the Quran. With extensive research, 23 parts. And what I tell you here in the surah, I can tell you about any of the surahs and applies as well up till Surah As-Saffat or Saf, which comes Yaseen, As-Saffat and Saf, which is part 23 of the Quran. I did analysis to find out what is the most frequently used word in Surah Nisa, the word that is repeated the most. And I found out that the word ظلم, injustice, is among the most frequently repeated words in Surah Nisa. Why? Can you guess? Why in Surah Nisa injustice is mentioned there? Because ظلم النساء, the injustice that is done against women. Okay? And that's exactly a key word in Surah Nisa. And the key to understanding why inheritance laws came in Surah Nisa. Allah wanted to guarantee women their rights in inheritance. People were eating their rights. We're not giving them their share of inheritance. So Allah put it as a law. The only law in the Quran that is put in details, in extreme details, is family law. Marriage, divorce, inheritance. Why? Because it has a lot of injustice done in it. So Allah wants to assure and guarantee justice to everybody, especially women. And especially at the time of Prophet Muhammad and after today. A lot of injustice is done to women. And the whole Surah Nisa there is to guarantee justice established for women and for other people. And that's why you have the laws of inheritance there. And I want to share with you some of the verses that we have there. I didn't have time to translate them. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَأَتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. If you want to divorce one, get married to another one, and you give them a little amount, or give them that much amount of dowry or anything, give it back to them. Do not take any part of it. Are you going to take it in injustice and, you know, in breaking the laws? So again, the issue here, injustice. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا. And whosoever does this in aggression and in injustice, we will put him in hell. فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا. إِلَّا اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ. The word يَظْلِم, Allah does not cause an atom word weight of injustice. See? And on, I just counted a few. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيرًا. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا. Word ظَلَمُوا here, did injustice to themselves. لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِسُوءٍ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمَ. Allah does not like anybody to utter wrong things or say anything wrong about other people except those who are wrong or injustice done against them. And now we come to the jihad. And I want you to look now, perspective of jihad. Now you understand that even when it comes to jihad, it's because there is ظلم. أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها. Why won't you fight for the sake of Allah? وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين لا يستطيعون الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. Why won't you fight for the sake of Allah? And there are weak men and women and children who are crying and saying, oh Allah, drive us out of this city whose people are making dhulm against us. You see? So the jihad here is to fight dhulm, injustice, and aggression. And on, you can guess now why we have Isa alayhi salam and his mother. Why do we have him? You can guess it now. Or you can just do an extrapolation.
Injustice.
Definitely. And let us look into what Allah says in Surah An-Nisa. فَلِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقًا وَكُفْرًا فلما نقضهم ميثاقهم وكفرهم بآيات الله وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق وقولهم قلوبنا غلف. Because of their breaking of their mithaq, their law, and their kufr with ayat Allah, and their killing of their prophets without any right, and with their saying that our hearts are sealed off, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed it off because of their kufr, they will not believe. وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ مُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. And because of their kufr and their saying falsely, meaning injustice, بُهْتَان, عَظِيم, great fabrication, injustice done against her, and their saying, we have killed Al-Masih, peace of Allah. So again, it's the injustice that is done against Isa alayhi salam and his mother. And that's where it comes. That way, I understand. I see things differently. I connect things differently. And when I understand, my ability will be much more enhanced. I remember, in Surah Nisa, there is a story there that comes only in that place, in Surah Nisa, where a Jew was accused of stealing a shield. And Allah declared that this Jew was innocent. And the Muslims who accused him were the ones who stolen it. It's recorded in Surah Nisa. Why in Surah Nisa? This is the surah that talks about injustice. And women were the top example of injustice. And that's why it's called Surah Nisa. That becomes an integral part of education that I would do for my children. Same thing I do with seer. Same thing I do with other subjects that I have. Apply the same methodology. I even apply the same methodology to literature, English literature. You're teaching your children. You're helping your children at home. They came to you in the middle of high school and they told you, I want you, my daddy or my mother, to help me understand this literature. What are you going to do? So if you really want to help your child do the homework, understand how to analyze the homework, you focus more on understanding. There is a difference between reading and literature. I'm not an English teacher, but these are basic understanding. When you talk about literature, you're talking about different styles of writing. It's not just line reading. For example, when you read fiction, it's different than when you read non-fiction. So if your child does not distinguish fiction from non-fiction, if your child is not able to write fiction or write standard English, your child will not learn English. And if you just go there and teach your child how to read and understand the story, you're teaching your child reading and comprehension, not literature. You see? Then, the model that presented to you, the details, the understanding, the skills become very important. Where does the skill fit here? In literature, where does it fit? What would be a skill in literature? Some of you might be able, maybe the sisters, know more about that. One of you can volunteer to answer. What would be a skill in teaching or helping my child in literature? Implement, that's true. How? Good answer, good introduction.
Example.
What is it?
Example.
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 Give example. Being able to write a piece of literature according to Shakespeare. He read Shakespeare, or she read Shakespeare and knew it, but is not able to imitate. He's going to be able to produce a piece of literature. You see? You're going to be able to practice it, translate it into action. In the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa that we explore, I taught my children or I taught myself how to understand where the skill comes in. The skill in Surah An-Nisa, where would it come in? I want you to, again, build some knowledge from this lecture. Skills deal with practice. How you become skillful in practicing something. So when I understand Surah An-Nisa, and when it's time for me to practice it, then that's a skill. When I learn well who gets what and apply it, I learn the skill. When Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Verse 59 in Surah Nisa. When I look at this verse and I understood it, obey Allah and His Messenger. If you dispute anything, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. I understand it. But when it comes to practice, I'm not doing it. When I start to practice it, based on my understanding, I develop the skill and the spirit. And that's the concept of tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is all about building things based on knowledge and practicing them. If you do that, you develop tarbiyah. If you're not doing that, you have not developed tarbiyah. And let me share with you this piece of information here. In Islam, you have a unique religion. You have information, you have knowledge, you have ilm. Three levels. In English, you translate knowledge and ilm as knowledge. There is no translation for ilm, or there is no distinction between ilm and ma'rifah. In Arabic you have ma'rifah and you have ilm. And you have two different words, close to each other. And they may be very close to each other, but there is slight difference between them. I want you to give close attention to this question that I'm going to ask you. Can you find in the Quran, in any place in the Quran, where a verse or a statement where you read عَرِفَ اللَّهُ? No. What would you say? عَلِمَ اللَّهُ. عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَالُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Okay. Allah knew that you were doing this. Allah knew this. Allah knew this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عارف خبير or إن الله عليم خبير. الله عليم حكيم. Don't see عارف when it comes to Allah. Why? Because علم is a higher level. And that's very unique in Islam. A very unique terms here, the Arabic language that does not exist in the English language, and it reflects to us levels of tarbiyah. Reflects to us who's knowledgeable and who's not. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We're not going to make equal those who know and those who do not know.
So we
want to give some time for question and answer. From somebody tell me what time is it? معلومات means information.
The word معلوم. Not the word معلوم of علم.
معلوم؟ possible. يعني it's the same root, the same Arabic root from the word. But you know, it's one of the, I don't want to complicate it, I just want to make my point. Because there is alfaz mushtaraka. Mushtaraka meaning, depending on the context in which it comes, you'll find slight differences. Like mushrik and kafir. They mean the same thing, but when they come next to each other, there is a difference between mushrik and kafir. You see? So similarly here, when they come next to each other, there is a difference between them. But when they come, sometimes they exchange, and they, this is used for this, and this is used for that. Anyway, yes, please.
You mentioned the three elements of the
Quran.
Understanding and details and skills, and you were giving the example of teaching children how to read Quran. And early on when they start reading, obviously their level of understanding is not there where, you know, we convince them that this is what you need to do, even though that is the right time and they need to start learning. So how would you apply these steps at this point when the kids really don't have that level of comprehension, but they still they need to, you know, learn?
That's a good question. As the children grow, their level of understanding will grow with them. At the beginning, their cup of knowledge is empty. You gotta fill it first with details. You see? So they gotta build information, they gotta build pieces of information, a lot of it, before they really come into the higher level. In education, you have lower level tasks, higher level tasks. As the children grow from elementary to middle to high, your focus on the higher level becomes more.
What I meant is that for younger children, like 6, 7 years old, 5 years old, they need to start their alifba, right? I mean, what kind of details you would give them in order to convince them that this is what they need to do?
Well, at least they gotta comprehend what is there, the meaning of the words, you see? The context in which it's coming. When I say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحْدٌ, means the child understands what the word qul means. What, you know, huwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahad means what? And I put for him ahad in different sentences so that he knows how the word ahad is put. You know, and all of that could be done as early as
you thought first. It was about 5 years old, child?
Possible, very possible. Because you're teaching Arabic to them at the same time you're teaching English. So you're talking about simple, you know, say, واحد is the same as أحد. You know, Bilal said أحد أحد. What does it mean when Bilal said أحد أحد? Said Allah is one, one. You see, so simple things. You don't complicate things so that you don't give them a cognitive load. But you focus more on the details when you are young, and you get more understanding as they grow up. Okay. Well, when you look at this. When does ma'rifah becomes ilm? When does ma'rifah becomes ilm? When knowledge is based on understanding, it becomes ilm. When you really, the term الراسخون في العلم والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به. The difference between those who are wasiquna fil ilm, as Surah Ali Imran mentioned, and those who are, you know, have knowledge. Wasiquna fil ilm, those one who understand very well, believe much deeper than those who have just mere knowledge. You see? So the more you understand, the more you become closer to ilm, inshallah. And we'll continue with this, inshallah, next time. So I stop here. There's a lot of material here that I have. This is like we explored about maybe 10 child slides. I have about 500 slides. So inshallah, we'll have a lot of that. Any question or any comment? Please. You become skillful, the more you become experienced. And the more experience you have, the more knowledge you get. Actually, they say an experienced person learns much, much faster and picks up much faster than a person who doesn't have experience. Even if they are, one of them is much smarter than the other. But experience counts. So skills and experience, they go hand in hand. And let me maybe show you a slide here where we talk about, I'm not sure if it came here. Well, it's on another slide. What kind of skills? There are cognitive skills. You see, there are motor skills. When the child is still in the elementary school, you focus more on that child, like kindergarten, preschool, you focus more on motor skills, not cognitive skills. So for example, for the example of that my brother gave here for a child in kindergarten, you do more coloring. You do more tracing of the sword. You see? So that the motor skills are more than the cognitive skills, the brain skills. Cognitive meaning brain. More than that. So you really focus more with the childhood on the motor skills. Give them coloring. Give them, you know, tracing. Give them cut and paste. And masjid. Give them the surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You know, give them the words and let them put it together. So their hands and their motor skills becomes more developed. Does this answer it?
Yeah, and I just have a little follow-up and reference to Sheikh Osama's question. When you have a young child and you hear a lot of recommendation that you should capture this early age when they are so open-minded and skillful to memorize, would you agree that you should put your priorities to have them memorize as much without the true understanding first, and then the understanding will come later on?
Definitely, but early I put more focus on the skill of tajweed, with memorization, not the understanding. The skill of tajweed, you see? Because I have two schools in Houston. One has a teacher that put more focus on the skill of tajweed. The other one put more focus on memorization. At the end, we did a competition. And we got, the judges were neutral, who did not know who's participating. They did not know who's from this school or who's from that school. They don't know anybody. They picked up six winners. The six winners were from the school where the skill was taught. Was not from the school where the memorization was the focus, you see? So again, at an early stage, I put more focus on the Quran, on that skill. If the child learns it well, they can pick up the memorization easier with the skill that they develop. Look into child in kindergarten. They say, when they say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. They come towards the nas, and nas, they do that. Kindergarten is doing that. He's counting how long he should pass on the noon when says an nas. That's a skill. Who taught him that? His teacher. You see? That focus is on the skill. The other child whose focus was on memorization does not do that. And hence was not able to win the competition. And the child who learned that skill of the tajweed and can move his fingers to count how many times, be much able to memorize much easier than the child who did not do that. And that's why this, my brother. Sorry, sister.
What the kids have to be taught, what type of skill and knowledge and everything. We haven't heard anything about what the parents have to learn, like listening skills or something from the kids, where we should be able, I mean, proactive and communicating to them.
Definitely, and that's the forces of God. We have a lot of material for the parents to learn. Inshallah, I will explore with you some of these materials where you teach your children and you learn and teach at the same time. There's a lot of things, especially the basics, especially structuring knowledge and learning things in a way. You know a lot, you know, and my sisters and my brothers here witness to that. You know a lot. The problem is, you swim in details. And you don't know how these details are put together. How they are structured together. Like we put a structure for Surah Nisa. Similarly, the information that you know should have a structure to it. But the word we thought in, when we were children was not really built on understanding and building structure. So we know a lot of information, but it's really like swimming in details. And hopefully, inshallah, in this course, we'll learn together how to put a structure and how to really, oh wow, I know that very well, alhamdulillah, I knew that, but I didn't know that it looks that way. That's your hope, inshallah. For the ilm first, and then the practice, or the practice, and then the ilm, or both of them at the same time. Well, that's a good debate among Muslim scholars. They debated that beautifully. And I'm more inclined towards knowledge, you build first, and then the practice. But you can debate with me, as the scholars debated it, that it's possible that you start practice and then you learn as you practice. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu once, you know, practiced, ready for Iman, mashallah. Did not really have to go through knowledge. Iman came to him just as simple as he saw the Prophet saying it, said, I believe in it. So, possible. But which is more stronger? Action that is based on ilm or action that is not based on ilm? Definitely, the action that is based on it is much stronger. And inshallah, maybe we'll come to a time where I explore with you the concept of ibadah in the Quran. Concept of ibadah in the Quran comes in Surah Al-Hajj. And if you analyze Surah Al-Hajj there, it's built on knowledge. Ibadah is built on knowledge. And if your ibadah is not built on knowledge, it's a serious problem. You'll end up with bid'ah wa li'ad billah. You see, so we'll analyze this inshallah some other time. We learn from this slide something important from Surah Al-Baqarah. There we read, وَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They learn what harms them and not benefit them. So we learn that there is ilm that is beneficial and ilm that is harmful. And the best among us, or the one who is really knowledgeable, the one who has the ilm, is the one who knows the ilm that is beneficial. You see? That's a very important distinction that the Quran brings to us. And we learn that ilm, the beneficial ilm, results in an effect. You practice. Ilm without practice, nothing. Like Satan. Knew very well Allah is there, but did not practice. You see? So that ilm is going to be tied to practice. If you translate the ilm into practice, you're really in a good shape. And that should have an effect on the heart and the body. Heart meaning iman, and the body meaning you carrying out the iman, which is the sharia. You see? And actually, if you look at it this way, that's exactly the concept of tarbiyah. So the concept of tarbiyah is, you build knowledge, and you teach your children based on knowledge, and you let them turn that knowledge into practice that affects their heart into more iman, and their body into more ibadah. If their heart is filled more with iman, and their body is humbled with more ibadah, more sujood, and ruku' to Allah, they have achieved the best level of tarbiyah. And that's your job as a parent. And that's your job as a Muslim. And let me share with you this slide, and we conclude with that. Al-ilm al-sathi al-ghair muta'ammaq, the surface knowledge that is not deep is called knowledge. It's my analysis in the Quran. If it's not deep, it's going to be called knowledge. فَلَمَّا عَرَفُوا مَا جَاءَهُمْ كَفَرُوا. When they knew what came to them, عَرَفُوا, they became kafirs. And you will do a lot of analysis with that. عَرِفَ and عَلِمَ in the Quran, you realize what I mean. فَإِذَا بُنِيَتْ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةُ عَلَى فَهْمٍ عَمِيقٍ صَارَتْ عِلْمًا. And when this knowledge is based on a deep understanding, it becomes ilm, meaning authentic knowledge. وَإِذَا تُرْجِمَ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ إِلَىٰ عَمَلٍ وَفَهْمٍ. And if this knowledge is translated into deeds and understanding that connects this earthly life with an akhirah and the part with the whole, then there is tawheed and there is true knowledge. You see, it's a very important statement that affects how we do the tawheed and how we translate that into action. I'm sharing this with the teachers. The information that I shared with you today, I shared it with the high school students last month. What does this mean? Parents and students and teachers are on the same wavelength. And that's the purpose of having this series. We all have at least exposure to what the teachers should be doing in the school. And may Allah reward all of you and make you the best model for your children, inshallah.
Question.
If I would this slide and in 2 minutes I share with you some of the things that we have here. Okay, one of the things that I want to share with you is priorities in Islam. You have a lot of knowledge. How do you restructure your knowledge? You have pieces of information on Sira, you have pieces of information on Fiqh, you have pieces of information on Aqidah. How do you really connect this knowledge and build strong base for yourself or for your children? That's part of the course that we're going to have. And then there are stages of tarbiyah, steps that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ followed. What are these steps? What are these stages? Are you aware that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went into steps, step by step? We're going to learn about these steps and how the Prophet ﷺ developed these steps. We're going to develop a care where you follow based on the seerah of Prophet Muhammad and what he did. We develop a care and we follow that care. Understanding that care from the seerah of Prophet Muhammad and applying it to your children is very essential. You don't expect your child at a younger age to be the same at an older age. What should you do? This is part of the course that we're going to be taking. And this is part of the steps that we're going to be exploring, inshallah. Priorities that the Quran taught the Muslims. There were priorities early when Allah said, Iqra. What were these priorities? We need to learn these. Teachers already exposed to that. Our students are already exposed to that. I want to take you on a journey on Sirah as illustrated in the Quran. How did Allah wanted Prophet Muhammad to go step by step? We read Sirah, but we disconnected from the Quran. And now trying to connect it to the Quran and show you how they were working together, how the Qur'an was guiding the seerah, and how the Qur'an and the seerah should guide your life. That's what another part of the series that I have will deal with. And here is some of the slides. Islam was a danger to Quraysh. How and why? And why would the people stand against you and against Islamic education? Learning why it was a danger is very essential for us. Learning a very important component of the Quran. What happened and how did they fight Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how did he respond? And how did the Quran respond to all of these? وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. All of that, we'll be exploring it together. And we'll learn how the Quran was guiding the process of tadbir. It's part of the things that we will learn together, inshallah. And we'll learn building a community. And building the community in Medina. How does this relate to us in the process of tarbiyah? How would I implement the building the community into my children based on the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When I teach aqidah to my child, la ilaha illallah and al-qiraat, what are the essential components of teaching aqidah to my child? We'll learn part of that, inshallah. And this is just a an example of some of the things that we will explore, inshallah. I don't want to take any more of your time. Ya Allah, we will be with you. SubhanAllah, Allahumma, 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 Allahumma,